Hello, and welcome to I Don't Feel 50 Radio, digital and online, brought to you by www.idf50.co.uk. This is I Don't Feel 50 Radio, and today we're off to County Clare in the Republic of Ireland to meet longtime IDF 50 member, Coaster. Hello, are you there, Coaster?
I am, Graham. Hello, good to talk to you.
Now, my geography of the Republic of Ireland's not too good. I know Dublin and I know County Cork. And where exactly are you?
Well, we're in on the western side of Ireland. If you imagine the island of Ireland, about halfway up on the left-hand side is County Clare. We're sort of sandwiched between Limerick in the south and Galway just to the north of us. So that's us, and it's probably one of the least populated counties in Ireland, but arguably one of the most beautiful and one that lots of people come to visit when they come to Ireland.
Is it raining at the moment? Every time I've been in Ireland, it seems to be raining.
It does tend to be a bit like that. We call them soft days here. When you get soft rain, we get soft rain quite a lot of the time. But I suppose it is wetter than it is in most parts of the UK. But you get used to it, and you look forward to the nice days.
Now, I'm trying to guess how long you've been a member of IDF 50, but it's a few years now. It's
about 2002, from what I recall, somewhere in the spring of 2002 when I first discovered IDF.
And how did you find us?
Well, I found it at a time which was quite a difficult time in my life, because I'd just lost my first wife of 35 years, and I'd been looking after her for, I suppose it was around 2 years, almost as a full-time carer before she died. Obviously, when she died, it was pretty devastating for me. But I found one of the things I found, or some of the things I found most difficult, weren't quite what I was expecting, and I found it particularly difficult to cope with friends and work colleagues who knew my situation and always wanted to talk about me and about my loss and all those kind of things. And actually, it might sound a bit callous, but I wanted to move on, and I wanted to, communicate with people who didn't sort of see me as somebody who was bereaved. And I started looking on the internet and looked around at forums that I could join where I could, if you like, be anonymous. And IDF 50 was one of those I came across.
And later, you found your present wife, Bakewell Tart. And then, in fact, I'm not sure. You later married, and you settled in Ireland. Now, was that a decision to get married and move to Ireland straight away, or how did that come about?
Well, we didn't marry that quickly. Well, I suppose we did marry quite quickly, but the actual coming together took a bit longer than that. I mean, I suppose at that time on IDF, in some ways, we were more open in what we posted. I think we've all learned to be a bit more circumspect in what we say in our postings. But back then, we were a bit naive, and we tended to open up quite a lot about our personal situations. And Bakewell Tart and I think found we had quite a lot in common, and ended up, as you say, coming closer and eventually meeting up, and that set off the relationship, which resulted in us getting married. I think it was about a year after we'd first met.
And the decision to move to Ireland was taken.
The decision. Well, the decision to move to Ireland, you'll understand from what I've said before that I was living in a family house that I'd had for, well, 20 or more years and raised my own family. And when we got married, we moved back into that house, but it wasn't, like, it wasn't our house. It was my house and it was my family's house. And we wanted to go somewhere where we could, make our own. And also, I suppose we wanted somewhere that had a bigger garden because we're both big gardeners and that'd be interest. And Ireland actually came up in a rather curious way because we were looking around on the internet at properties around the country, and we wanted this somewhere with a bit of land. And I started looking at Ireland, and I came across an island actually off Ireland called Mutton Island, and it was advertised at £500,000, and it was, I think, about 30 acres, and it had a little 4 or 5 cottages on it and a lighthouse and all that sort of thing. And I don't know, I didn't have £500,000, but I got in touch with them, and we pursued it a little bit, and in the end decided actually living on an island wasn't quite what we wanted. But I thought, well, if you can buy an island for £500,000, you can probably buy a few acres for quite a lot less than that in Ireland. So we started looking around, and we ended up buying the property we're in now, which is a little cottage which it's just nearly 200 years old, and a traditional Irish cottage, and 5 acres of land, which is what we have.
And you're producing plenty from that land. I've seen photographs on the site of you exhibiting at the local shows, and also I was only reading this week of you're both out in the garden, which is February actually, working. So you're actually making good use of it, are you? Not quite the good life, but getting there somewhere.
Well, we both love gardening, love being out there and doing things, and that was one of the main reasons for coming here. And we've got about an acre of orchard, which was what we were working in last week, doing the winter pruning and pulling up the brambles that come growing the grass and all those kind of jobs. And we've got quite a big veg plot, which we try and grow most of our own vegetables. And a few of them find their way into the local show, as you say. So, we try and grow quite a lot of our own stuff. And then we've got about 3 acres of meadow and hedgerows and this kind of thing, which we planted quite a lot of trees now. So we've got plenty of land to walk around on, as well as the bits that we grow things to eat on. And we've also got quite a lot of willow. The previous people who had it were basket weavers, so we've got quite a little willow plantation, and I've just started doing that and done some basket weaving classes. So I'm going to try my hand at basket weaving over the next year with my own willow. So that's all great fun.
Working in with the local community, that's gone well, of making friends locally the local people welcomed you, and I noticed your local shows. And is there anything else you've done to aid the time or work locally? Is there anything?
Yeah. We obviously know the people in our own area, but I've also got involved with the Age Action organisation in Ireland. Age Action's, I suppose, the equivalent of Age Concern in the UK. And one of the things they do is organise classes in libraries and other community centres and so on for older people who want to learn how to make use of computers, mainly access the internet and emails and that kind of thing. And I've been doing quite a few classes with people, anything from 60-year-olds to 90-year-olds, getting them started in emailing and getting internet access.
That's fabulous. Do you have any, because one of the problems in the UK at the moment is some of the remote areas, they can't get broadband, but you've got broadband and...
Yes, of a kind. The wire system here, the telephone wire system, isn't good enough for broadband access. So we've got a wireless system. We've got a community system around our area with a bunch of transmitters around the lake, which is at the centre of the valley that forms the area, the community that we live in, and we've got transmitters around that, and we pay a fee to receive the broadband transmitters from the wireless transmitters. So it's not the most super fast broadband, but it's good enough.
And just to wind up, is one thing you missed from your move over to Ireland? Seems idyllic to me, but is there anything you can't get or you can't meet or you miss family or?
Yeah, I think the family is probably the biggest thing. At the time we moved, neither of us had young grandchildren, and it didn't look like there were any on the way. And of course, as soon as we moved away, there was a flurry of children, grandchildren came along. So we've now got four young grandchildren between us, and we'd probably like to see them more than we do. But wonderful Ryanair with their cheap flights gives us good opportunity to get back. I mean, we look out for the cheap fares, and Shannon Airport is only about an hour away from us, and one of the children are near Stansted, and a branch of children are near Gatwick, down in Worthing, my old hometown. So we get backwards and forwards enough to see them, but yeah, we'd like to see them more, and that's something we miss. I suppose the other thing we miss is, surprisingly, things like big shops. We're a bit limited here with our little local supermarkets, and sometimes you yearn for the large Tesco. We have to go up to Galway or down to Limerick to go into a large supermarket. But apart from that, no, we're fine.
The price of things, how do they compare then? We hear about the economy even worse than over here. Is the cost of living dearer or not much in it? Or how would you feel?
When we first came over, it was considerably more expensive than the UK. One of the side effects of the collapse of the economy over here is that actually things have got quite a lot cheaper. Price of food has come down about 20% over the last 18 months. So it's perhaps not the best of reasons for getting price reductions, but that's been one of the effects. So we've in a way benefited from that. Obviously, the other side of it is that we've got very high unemployment, and a lot of people are stuck here with huge negative equity on the properties. So it's not good. You know, the general atmosphere here now is much more subdued than it was in the days when the Celtic Tiger was roaring. But I suppose everybody hopes that we're going to come out of it in not perhaps in the very near future, but not too far down the road.
Coaster, I could chat for you for hours. It's interesting and so much. And as I say, I've got some connections with Ireland myself through my wife's family, but unfortunately we're going to have to cut it there, else I'm going to run out of recording time, but perhaps we'll do it again. It's terrific to speak with you. Thanks very much.
Good to talk to you, Graham. Thanks very much.